They love to serve you, God. Help us all to be aware of the people around us, the lost people, the people that are confused and don't understand your truth. God, just help us to show grace and love to them. God, be with me this evening that I can present your word truthfully and honestly, God. Just be with us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we've been going through a series on abiding, not striving to abide in the vine. It's been 6 weeks, 8 weeks. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11. If you're familiar with that, that's the Hall of Faith. We've been going through a lot of the saints of the Old Testament and how they abided. The past two Wednesdays, we've been covering Abraham, and you're going to get some more of Abraham because I am speaking on Sarah. So there's a lot of overlap, but I'm going to try to show it from the perspective of Sarah, and how she remained faithful. So I'm going to start off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him, God, faithful, who had promised. Sarah, originally named Sarai, was Abraham's wife. Abraham's name was originally Abram. To minimize confusion, I'm going to primarily refer to Abram as Abraham and Sarai as Sarah, except when I'm quoting scripture. In Genesis chapter 17, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram's name meant exalted father, and he changed it to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. Also in that chapter, God told Abraham to no longer refer to his wife Sarai, meaning my princess, but to call her Sarah, meaning this princess. When God reminded them of his promise to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations, so God was declaring Sarah was going to be not his princess, but the princess over many nations. So Sarah was married to Abraham while they were still living in Ur before God told them to move to Canaan. Sarah is one of the matriarchs of the nation of Israel, the grandmother of Jacob. The historical account of Abraham and Sarah begins in Genesis chapter 11 and goes through Genesis chapter 25. Sarah was 65 years old when they left Haran for Canaan. We know this because Abraham was 75 years old, and Abraham stated in Genesis 17 that he was 10 years older than Sarah. So in the beginning, before their historical account, starting in Genesis chapter 11, before they even left Ur, before God promised anything, God's word tells us that Abraham and Sarah had no children. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 29, the name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. So while they were still living in Ur, both Abraham and Sarah probably had resigned to the fact that they would probably never have any children together. Later, after Abraham and Lot settled in Canaan, God spoke to Abraham after he and his nephew had parted ways that not only would Abraham have offspring, but that his offspring would be immeasurable. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. So not just the dust that he could see, but the dust of the entire earth. I mean, imagine the conversation that Abraham and Sarah had. Was it one of hope? Was it one of joy? I would think so. At the time, Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. So Sarah was already barren and old, but God had given this miraculous promise. God would remind Abraham again of his promise after Abraham blessed Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of God Most High, with a tithe of Abraham's bounty after rescuing Lot from captivity. So yes, tithing predates the law, in case you're wondering. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham responds with doubt about what God is saying. In verse 2 and 3, but Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. So Abram and Sarah still have no children. God promised to make the number of Abraham's offspring be like the dust of the earth. He reminds God of that fact, that their only heir in this household is his steward, Eleazar of Damascus. He has no son, no offspring, not even one grain of sand. But God responds to Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. God reminds Abraham of this promise. He will have a son. God wants to remind Abraham the size of his future offspring. Verse 5, and he brought him outside and says, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. There were no large cities with secondary light, so the sky was probably filled with stars on a clear night, probably beautiful, and it would have been impossible to number them. Have you ever tried to count the stars? I remember as a kid, just starting one little area, like you can't even start, let alone do it. So not even going to try. When Abraham met with God, he and Sarah are still about the same age as they were when they first entered Canaan. They both are waiting patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. 1 year passes, no child. A second year, still no child. Then 5. Then 10 years pass, still no child. Abraham is now 85 years old. Sarah is 75. Sarah knows she is not getting any younger. Her biological clock has been ticking for 10 years since God made that promise, and that their offspring would be immeasurable. But Sarah continued to be barren. How much guilt do you think she felt? At first, God's promise was exciting. Could it come to be that Sarah would have a child, a son of her own? After 10 years of abiding faithfully in God's promise, Sarah did what many of us try to do. We try to help God with his promises. So Sarah came up with a plan. She wanted to see God's promise to Abraham fulfilled. So she convinced Abraham to take her maidservant to bear him a child. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, starting there. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant, it may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. So at the beginning of that, those verses, Sarah actually blames God for her infertility. In verse 2, she told Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from bearing children." She technically was correct, but her response was not one of abiding, not one of faith, but one of striving through her own works. I truly believe personally that Sarah was trying to fulfill God's promise to Abraham. Remember, it's written in Scripture, God's promise was to Abraham, not to Sarah. I can see Satan planting that thought into Sarah's mind. Did God actually say that you would have Abraham's child? This sounds familiar to Satan's temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden, back in chapter 3 of Genesis. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He had said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Like Eve in the Garden of Eden, Sarah came up with her own plan rather than continue to abide in God's promise. Technically, the promise was to Abraham, not to Sarah, but God understands covenant relationships. In God's eyes, when he promised Abraham that he would have offspring innumerable, that implied that Sarah, Abraham's wife, would too. In Sarah's eyes, she did not understand. She underestimated the creator of the universe, the one true God who created the first man from dust and the first woman from that man's side. Sarah believed that God needed some help understanding marriage and procreation. Taking multiple wives, or technically concubines, was a common practice, especially when infertility was involved. Households needed children to help propagate the family line. But taking on multiple wives or concubines, was that God's plan for marriage, for a household? Absolutely not. Later in the New Testament, Jesus had to remind the Pharisees of God's plan for marriage when they asked a legalistic question about marriage and divorce. In Matthew 19, verse 4, Jesus, answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." So when God promised Abraham offspring as immeasurable as the grains of sand or stars in the sky, this did include Sarah as the mother. But like Adam succumbing to Eve in the garden, Abraham succumbed to this plan of fulfilling God's promise through Sarah's servant Hagar. So of course, Abraham and Sarah's plan would work. Not. Genesis chapter 16, verse 4, when she, Sarah, saw that she, Hagar, had conceived, she, Sarah, looked with contempt on her mistress. Sarah knew immediately that this was not a good idea. Just like Adam and Eve were immediately aware of their sin and their nakedness after eating the fruit, but God still allowed it to happen. Genesis 16, verse 15, and Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So Sarah was 76 when Hagar gave Abraham a son. They all knew that this was not the fulfillment of God's promise. God had made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah. Our God is in the business of miracles. Eventually, 13 years after that, after Ishmael was born, God appeared to Abraham again. Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations." If Abraham was 99 at the time, that means Sarah was 89 and still barren. It seemed that her biological clock had quit ticking. God continues in this chapter and expands on his promises to Abraham. He promises of kings. He promises to continue the covenant across multiple generations, an everlasting covenant, the promise of perpetual possession of the promised land, and he would be their God. Chapter 17 is also where the covenant of circumcision was established. God continues his promises to Abraham and provides some glorious details. In verse 15, "And God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her.'" Can you imagine 99-year-old Abraham and 89-year-old Sarah's response? Verse 17, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" God knew Abraham's thoughts. He understood Abraham's response under his breath, his reaction of chuckling, I believe, which was a response of amazement. God continues to amaze with more detail. Verses 19 and 21, God said, "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." So God would fulfill his promise to Abraham and Sarah. God would heal Sarah and make her fertile for the very first time. Chapter 21, "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me.' And she said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.' God saw the joy that Abraham and Sarah shared in that miracle baby. Sarah was mostly able to abide, to be faithful during those 25 long years from age 65 to age 90 when she finally bore Abraham's son Isaac as the fulfillment of God's promise. So not only is Sarah mentioned in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, in the Hall of Faith, but Paul writes about her in the book of Galatians. This is right up the series on abiding. The Apostle Paul contrasts in his letter in the churches in Galatia between striving to earn God's acceptance through the works of Judaism versus simply abiding through faith in Jesus Christ. In the book of Galatians, Paul revealed that the churches were teaching an untrue gospel, one that required adherence to the law after being saved, a supposed gospel that required striving through works and the law, not abiding through faith in Christ. Paul points out God's fulfillment of his promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, Jew and Gentile. Galatians 3, verse 14, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Paul then contrasts the abiding by Abraham's wife, Sarah, versus the striving through their slave, Hagar. Verse 21 of Galatians 4, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. So Paul is contrasting Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, by two different mothers. One mother is called the slave woman, who is Hagar, who bore Ishmael. The other mother is called the free woman, who is Sarah, who bore Isaac. Paul is pointing out the slave Hagar and the son Ishmael, Paul is pointing out that the slave Hagar and her son Ishmael, like being under the law. Paul continues the comparison in Galatians 4:23. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem. That's the words Paul used. For she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. The phrase present Jerusalem refers to the burden of living under the law. The phrase Jerusalem above is referring to the heavenly Jerusalem. So Paul reveals that Hagar represents the old covenant, trying to achieve righteousness through works by striving, and that Sarah, our mother of the Jewish people, represents the new covenant, righteousness through faith by abiding in Christ Jesus. Paul continues in Galatians 4 and actually quotes Genesis chapter 21, the account of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. In Galatians 4:30, what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So Paul is telling the churches in Galatia to throw out the idea that Christians need to strive in the law in order to be made righteous. Because Sarah had faith, because she was abiding in God's promises, she willingly, joyfully put in the work to bring God's promise to fruition by becoming pregnant at 99, carrying baby Isaac for 99 months, going through labor, and giving birth at 90 years old. So in conclusion, just as Sarah abided and saw God fulfill his promise, if we abide and put our faith in Jesus, then we are made righteous and our works can glorify God, just like Sarah and her son, Isaac. I'm gonna close in prayer. After we close, if you do need prayer, personal prayer, feel free to come up or just want to talk. I'd love to do that. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much for a better understanding of this matriarch Sarah and the 25 years that she had to go through to finally fulfill your promise. Basically of the Jewish people, the father Abraham, his son Isaac. God, just thank you for that wonderful woman, that she eventually was able to come through and bring that child into the world. God, help us to bear fruit in our lives. God, help us to be patient. God, I know I need patience in so many areas. God, help us in that. God, help us to be willing workers. Once we are abiding, now we do need to work, put our hands to the plow, and honor you, God. We just love you and praise you. We pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. So I did find out that we do have a complete teardown this evening.